Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Is this working? I want to thank, where did he go? Mersh. Can't hear me. So what am I doing wrong? Steve, where are you? What? Hi. Is this better now? Okay, Baruch Hashem. I want to thank Mersh very much for the introduction, the very meaningful introduction, and also for inviting me to participate in this very special morning devoted Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Yecheskel David Ben Rav Yerachmiel. Dr. Professor Rabbi David Kranzler was an extraordinary human being who combined deep commitment to Torah and knowledge of Torah with a deep understanding and appreciation of the value of history and the importance of history, and in particular, in the context of this morning's presentation, the value of historical truth. He had a BA and an MA from Brooklyn College, and MLS, a Master's of Library Science from Columbia, and received a doctorate from our institution, from Yeshiva University in 1971, and was the author of many books and many articles, focusing particularly but not exclusively on the Orthodox response to what was going on in Europe during the time of the Shoah. We are all in his debt for what he contributed to our knowledge, both in terms of the knowledge and also in terms of being a role model of someone who was a careful historian and a responsible historian and someone who was responsible for the transmission of the Mesorah, of what it was that occurred to our people in the arguably most dark period of time that we experienced. I want to thank Hai Arbisfeld, who's here, who is responsible for Kolo Medreshet Yom Rishon. You honor us and me with your presence, and we thank you for all you continue to do for us. I want to thank my beloved colleague, Steve Gottlieb, for everything that you do to make all of this happen, and Rabbi Winston, and everybody who's in charge of the Kolo Medreshet Yom Rishon program at our yeshiva. I want to acknowledge the presence of Mrs. Kranzler, who's here. Where's Judy? Thank you for coming. We are with you in this important day. We know how special and precious your husband was, and how honored I am to be able to speak about him and in honor of him and in memory of him today. Acknowledge the presence of the Kranzler children, the grandchildren, members of the family, Morai Verabosai. In thinking about my topic for today in memory of Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Yecheskel David Ben Rav Yerachmiel, I came up with a topic and I broached it with Moshe, and he told me that he thought this would be perfectly appropriate topic. The topic is about a potential charge of forgery in a letter that was written by the Chazon Ish. And he told me that his late father had a very interesting and thoughtful understanding of the nature of historical truth and of the issues attendant upon forgery. He told me that he accompanied his father, Zichrono Livracha, when his father was considering writing a book called Thy Brother's Blood, the Orthodox Jewish Response During the Holocaust, that was published in 1987. And Dr. Kranzler discovered sometimes not such nice things about the Orthodox Jewish response in America to what was going on in Europe. And it was not necessarily going to redound with great honor to those people whose work he discovered. And so he was concerned. He was concerned, is this appropriate? To what extent does historical truth overweigh issues maybe of Lashon Hara, issues maybe of Motzi Shemra, issues maybe of lack of tremendous Derech Eretz. And so Moshe told me he went with his late father to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. His father had a relationship with Rabbi Yaakov, and he went to ask. I mean, that itself is an incredibly valuable lesson. You're a historian, nu so fashteitzach. History comes first, but history may not necessarily come first for a Ben Torah. So you go ask Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, you ask a shaila, you ask advice. And Rabbi Yaakov said to him, is it true? Is it emes, what you're interested in publishing? And Dr. Kranzler said, it is emes. And Rabbi Yaakov said, are you sure that it's emes? And Dr. Kranzler said, yes, I'm sure that it is emes. In which case, Rabbi Yaakov said, you have to share the emes. You must share the emes. With a caveat, and I think this was what you told me, your lashon, I was taking notes, Moshe, you cannot call them Rishaim. You can't judge them. You state the facts. You don't editorialize about what you think they did. That's what they did. It's true. You could say it. Rabbi Yaakov's name was Yaakov, and his celebrated parish on Chumash is called Titein Emes LeYaakov. Emes was very important to him. So on the one hand, historical truth is absolutely significant. In the world of forgeries, at the same time, Dr. Kranzler wrote another book called George Montello, El Salvador, and Switzerland's Finest Hour. And in this book, he celebrates the fact that George Montello, and I'm not going to give away the whole story because you should read the book, forged or rubber-stamped hundreds, maybe even thousands of visas to save Jews. So here we have somebody who is a forger and who forged. And forgery here is actually celebrated and respected. And he saved an enormous amount of Jews. And Dr. Kranzler became friendly with George Montello. He arranged for him to receive an honorary degree from our institution, from Yeshiva University. And I think you told me there's a grandson, somebody in the family, who's named Baruch for George Montello. Ad kedei kach was there this kind of a connection. So here we have the duality of the issue that I want to address. Mitzad echad emes, milanu gadol me emes. Mitzad sheni, sometimes forgery is hatzolas nefashis. Forgery is not necessarily always bad. Sometimes it's good and celebrated and appropriate. So I want to address an issue of a letter that the Chazon Ish wrote, and there's no date on the letter. We're now on page one. Anybody not have a copy of the handout? Are there any extra copies, Steve? If you don't have a copy, just please raise your hand. Question is this letter that was published by the Chazon Ish. In Tavshin Tezvav, 1955, Reb Shmuel Greinemann, who was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish, published Kovetz Igros Me'es Moran Ba'al Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish had already passed away. He was no longer alive. It's now posthumous. Posthumously, his brother-in-law collected letters of the Chazon Ish, published Kovetz Igros Chazon Ish. Letter Tzadi Zion, and there's no date on it. But if you look, there's a little asterisk right before the first paragraph, right at the beginning. And the asterisk takes us about halfway down, a little more than halfway down the left side. Asterisk, Hatshuva b'dvar kviot zayin yemei avelut v'ta'anit hayta achar churban yahadut Europa. So the issue that the Chazon Ish is now going to be addressing is a letter responding to something that he was asked after Churban Yehadut Europa. We don't know exactly the date. There's no date on the letter. But we know that shortly after the war, in Eretz Yisrael, it was not yet Medinat Yisrael, the chief rabbinate had two proposals on the table that they made public. One proposal was that the totality of the citizens living in Eretz Yisrael should take a week, everybody, and sit shiva for what happened during the Shoah. Everybody should sit shiva. a week of Shiva. We'll find a week. Everybody should express themselves in mourning that way. The second suggestion was that we should set up a Tainis Ladoiris. We should set up a fast day on the Jewish calendar to be repeated year after year in perpetuity to remember what happened during the Shoah. Question of what day the fast day should be, but we should have a fast day. We have a fast day for other tragedies. This tragedy is unprecedented. We need a fast day for this. Maybe we should think about setting up a Tainis Ladoiris. Now understand, first of all, with regard to the first proposal, when you think about it for a moment, it's actually extraordinarily dramatic. Because what happens, Rachmana Litzlan, when we're sitting Shiva? Part of sitting Shiva, and it's even halachically the case, Nichum Aveilim is part of the experience of Shiva. So when somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, is sitting Shiva, so people come to be Menachem Avel. We've been there, we know it, we've been on both ends. But you understand very well that if everybody is sitting Shiva, nobody's visiting anybody. Everybody's alone, sitting alone at home for an entire week. There's no nechama here. It's just the Avelus. It's a dramatic, dramatic proposal. The second one is a fast day. In response to this proposal, 1947, the Chazon Ish wrote as follows, second paragraph. B'yisod zeh tzorech she'elas chacham, im chayavin linhog zayin yemei avelus ala tzoros. I'm going to read it in Ashkenazis, as he would have read it. Ala tzoros ha'noraos she'avru aleinu emlo. To this question about being noyeg zayin yemei avelus, to be sitting Shiva, you need a she'elas chacham. And the end of the, by the time you come to the end of the paragraph, absolutely not. Loimit agoisin aleph. It's not going to happen. It's inappropriate. Last sentence for hatzah. Liikanes v'lekvoa v'lasos ligzor l'kayim hi b'hakolas roishchas v'shalom. B'yisod ha'alacha. It's disrespectful. V'fietzach nishtazah. You don't all of a sudden make up that all of Klal Yisrael should do something like this. V'roi lahasira me'ala perek. The term hu alasa, before it gets raised, it's already appropriate to get rid of. It's not going to happen. Now comes the issue that I want to focus on in particular. Kein kvias tainis ledoiris. To establish a tainis ledoiris. Ledoiris doesn't mean ad hoc. Ledoiris doesn't mean we're going to do a one-time fast day. It means ledoiris. Every year on this particular day, there's going to be a tainis. To do so, says the Chazon Ish, who bechlal mitzvah derabbanan. It's a derabbanan. It's a high level required authority to be able to do something like this. Umashi yesh biyadenu, in those fast days that we have, whom izman shahisa adayin nevua. Fast days that we have, you name the fast day, Asar b'Teves, Tisha B'Av, Tainis Esther, Tzom Gedalia, whatever fast days we have, are from the time that we had Nevuah. We don't have Nevuah anymore. Ve'eich no'iz ponenu. And how dare we, Huzza, Chutzpah, how dare we, Dor Shetovlo Hashtika, a generation for which silence is most appropriate. How can we have the gall, leharher kazois, to even think of something like this? Lekvoa devarim ledoros, to establish something for all future. Who do we think we are? That we have the chutzpah to establish something for all future generations. Vahareha atzah zos, this particular suggestion, meida aleinu, just demonstrates his testimony. Kimitchachashim b'chol chatosenu shfolenu, that we're rejecting and we're denying all of our sins and our nebuchness, our lowliness. Bisman shanu meluchlochim b'avaynosenu b'pshoenu, we're sullied with our sins. Dalim v'reikim, we're poverty stricken, we're empty min haTorah v'arumim mi mitzvos, and we are bereft of all mitzvos. Alna na'avor legedolos mimeno. Let's not go to something that's a little bit more higher level than we are. Nachbasa derachenu v'nashuva v'zui chovosein. Our job is to be introspective in the wake of the Holocaust. Our job is to strengthen ourselves in Torah and mitzvahs. In the wake of the Holocaust, it is utterly inappropriate for us to even imagine that we should think that we have the authority, who are we, to be able to establish a fast day, umar, sheyesh biyodeinu, humizman, shehoysa adayin nevuah. So the Chazon Ish says, loymitan aleph, not for the shiva, loymitan aleph, not for the fast. And this letter gets published in 1955, and is in the Kovetz Igros Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish doesn't need an introduction. It was one of the greatest, the Gedolei Yisrael of the 20th century, the leader of the Haredi community in Bnei Brak and beyond. Asher mipiv anu chayim, all Jews who care about Torah and mitzvahs are deeply influenced by the greatness of this Gadol B'Yisrael. We turn to page 2 and we find out that in 1981, there was an article that was published in a journal called Hamar. Hamar was a journal that is continuing to be published. I subscribed to Hamar, and in my mailbox in 1981 comes this issue of Hamar, Sivan Tammuz Tovshin Mem Aleph. I open it up and I turn to page 3 in our packet, and I see the following article by Harav Arye Leib Spitz, who used to be a rabbi in Riga, and he's a rabbi in Newark, New Jersey. And he writes an article, a very gut-wrenching article. Al devar kviyas yom tainis al harugei ha-churban Hashem yinkom damav. Immediately, it drew my attention. I'm very much interested in this issue. Writes Rabbi Spitz, rabbi in Newark, New Jersey, 1981. Ra'isi lechad rabbanim shekosav al odot ha-shoah rachmano litzlan. Somebody wrote, I saw somebody who wrote, shelefi daitai, and according to his, in accordance with his opinion, ein tzorech letaken yom evel v'tainas al ha-churban ha-nora she'ira la'achenu be'Europa. That we don't have to establish a yom evel v'tainas. You notice there are now two issues here. One is a yom evel and v'tainas. And they're separate, because you can have a yom evel. It's not muchrach, it's not necessary that it has to be a fast day. This particular rabbi remains unnamed, suggests and argues that we don't establish not a yom evel, not a yom tainis for what happened during the Shoah. V'tamach yisodo, and as a Tanya de Messiah, as a precedent, as a source, he bases his principled opposition. Shemotza michtav me'agon ha-chazon ish zatzal, she'dorenu dor yosom hu lochein tova lanu hashtika. After all, Chazon Ish says that we don't establish a fast day, a Yom Tainis. Chazon Ish, you notice, did not address the issue of Yom Evel. Chazon Ish addressed the issue of Yom Tainis. Yom Tainis isn't happening. Mitzvah derabbanan, umashi yesh biyodenu, mizman shahiso adai nevua, eich noiz ponenu, dor shetov lo hashtika, laharher kazos, likvaya devarim ledoiros, Adkan l'shoinoi of the Chazon Ish. No, Chazon Ish said no. Chazon Ish carries a lot of clout. Chazon Ish says no, it's no. And the neo-made next paragraph, Rabbi Spitz is beside himself. Rabbi Spitz is aghast, is distraught at this ruling. I can't crawl out of this. Who could possibly describe and to picture and to paint who can describe the pain and the suffering of the Jews before they were murdered? Shlish me'amenu, a third of our people are noshim v'taf nergu b'achzorios nora, with the greatest amount of cruelty. I can't believe it. that some authoritative learned rabbi, the Yachris Barabim Shein Tzorech Biyom Evel V'Tainis, that we should just Azoy Machzach Nishvisendik and just keep on going and not do anything to remember what happened at that time. Magodol Hatzar V'Hakeev Shegormim Diyunim Ko'elu LaHayehudim Bechlal. How painful this is! How torturous this is for Jews in general. Ulisha Plato Bifrad, and especially for those who went through this. What they went through isn't worthy of remembering? What they went through is not worthy of fasting for? Can't be. How could it be? It's insensitive. I left side, Ach Mashahivi or Ravanal, Tana de Messiahlo, Mimichta Vagon at Sadek Achazanish. What are you going to do with the Chazanish? Chazanish says, no fasting. Next paragraph. Ach bi'ikar ani rotzeh levaher. Not a problem. The Chazanish's letter is not a problem. You know why? Because the Chazanish never wrote that letter. The Chazanish didn't write it. It's a forgery. Somebody wrote it. Angus slipped a rhyme into the Kovitz Igaris Chazanish. Made believe the Chazanish wrote it. He never wrote it. It's impossible that the Chazanish could have written this letter. Ach bi'ikar ani rotzeh levaer, Rabbi Arya Leib Spitz, Newark, New Jersey, 1981. Shehamichtav hahu shel Chazanish lav bar samchahu. It's not to be relied upon. V'lav mar berei deravino chosam alei. It's a nice fancy rabbinic way to say he never wrote it. Now listen to the rationale, the argument. On what basis can I say that he never wrote it? Because, after all, this entire volume was put together as I mentioned to you, it was published posthumously. So it's not like as if b'chayav he gave it to the printer. Rav Shmuel Greinemann, the editor, the one who gathered the letters, writes in his introduction, he didn't see the actual autograph handwriting of the Chazonish in many of the letters. And therefore, it's conceivably possible, shinuyim al yedei hamatik. What happened? In 1950 epis, he sends out a kol kore, I want to publish the letters of my brother-in-law. Anybody who received the letter from my brother-in-law, send it to me. So they send him letters. It's not muchrach that they sent him a copy of the original. They could have sent him a copy. And Angus slipped Amrayin into the copy. Who knows what somebody put into that letter? Umihu achroi she'achazonish kosav zos. How do you know he wrote it? It's not in his handwriting. And it was published after he died. If you find it in his house and in his handwriting, Yodim Bibi Rur Shaze Emes, Dahare Motzo Bebeso Umakirim Ksavya Kacha. You understand? Then it's totally authoritative. It's nothing to talk about. It's his handwriting in his house. For sure he wrote it. Avokishimekatsime Arba Pinois Ha'oila. But when you gather from all over the world, all four corners of the world, copies, how do you know he wrote it, and how do you know it was copied correct? Not just how do you know he wrote it, but for sure he did not write it. And here's now, we're upping the ante here. Now we're getting to the crux of his argument. Till now, I understand very well. I don't know. I don't have it in his handwriting. I don't know. But I'll prove to you, I do know. I actually know for sure that it's inconceivable that he could have written it. Lefidaiti I efsher lahamin, it's impossible to believe. Shagona chazinish zatzal kosva. Darei amichta vazeh, because this letter is, listen to this, neged adin, Neged Aminog, the Neged Sechel Ayosha. Three punches. It's Keneged Adin, it's Keneged Aminog, and it's Keneged Sechel Ayosha logic. Umizeh Chazina, and from this it is manifestly obvious. The shalat bo yedei zarim velo e'atiku karoy. That strangers am zacharangemisht wasn't copied correctly. Anga slipped into the kovet zigros chazanish leidubim velo yar. He never wrote it, since he never wrote it. So I don't have to deal with it because it never happened. If it never happened, hadra kusha leduchte. I'm back now to my argument. Inconceivable. Insensitive. It's unacceptable that we should not be doing anything in a ritual way to commemorate the Shoah. How could that be? How could this rabbi have written this? Either Chazonish, there is no Chazonish. Never wrote it. Neged Hadin, Neged Aminog, Neged Seichel HaYosha. One of the fundamental arguments, this is a 5-page article by Rabbi Spitz. One of the fundamental arguments that he uses is, what are you saying? Is that really true? So I gave you before a number of examples. Tzom Gedalia, Sar B'Teves, Shivasa B'Tamuz. Yeah, that's true. But there happens to be other fast days that were actually instituted, L'Doiris, in the Middle Ages. Turn to page 4. He quotes a Magen Avraham at the end of Hilchos Tainis. The very last Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tainis, on the bottom right of page 4, Gam Noagim. This is a whole section in the Shulchan Aruch on fast days. Zok the Heilige Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham of Avraham Gumbiner, lived in the 17th century. Gam Noagim Lehisanos Esrim Besivon Bechol Malchus Polin. There was such a thing called the fast day of Chaf Sivan. It started in 1171 when there was a major destruction of the Jewish community in Blois in France, B-L-O-I-S. There were 31 or 33 Jews who were killed in Blois. And we have a Mesorah that the Rabbeinu Tam at that time, who died a few weeks later, the Rabbeinu Tam, the greatest of the great of the great, instituted a fast day. We have a Mesorah, instituted a fast day on Chaf Sivan, because all the Jews in Blois were killed on Chaf Sivan. And for sure it started to ratchet up after the Khmelnytsky massacres in the middle of the 17th century, 1648-1649, known in Hebrew as Gezerot Tach Vitat, Tav Ches, Tav Tes, 1648-1649. And here we have endless evidence that the Gedol Yisrael at that time established a fast day on Chaf Sivan. Why Chaf Sivan? Because all of the historical chronicles, or most of the historical chronicles that we have describing what happened, inform us that the whole thing began on Chaf Sivan in 1648. Now here it lasted for a year and a half. In the case of Blois, it all lasted Nebuch on one day. So if it all, they were all killed on one day, and you want to do something to remember them, so Feshtetzach, you do it on the day Nebuch when it happened. But here we have a challenge, because here it lasted Tach Vitat, that lasted for a year and a half until there was a respite. So which day are you going to choose? You understand that this is a precedent for what happened during the Shoah. You want to do something to remember the Shoah? You want to set aside a day to remember the Shoah? Which we end up calling Yom HaShoah V'Hagavura. So what day are you going to choose? It lasted for 6 years. And there was a whole discussion to try to figure out what day. Tach V'Tat began on Chaf Sivan, so the Gedol Yisrael at that time, middle of the 17th century, determined we are going to establish a fast day, L'Doiris, on Chaf Sivan. Frank Rabbi Spitz, what's the Chazanish talking about? Neged Adin, Neged Aminog, what are you telling me? The Chol Masheyesh Biyodeinu, whom is Mancha Oysa Adayin Nevua? I mean, the Marsha, wonderful. Nevuah, did they have Nevuah in the 17th century? They had prophecy in the 17th century. They didn't have prophecy in the 17th century. So what do you mean? All that we have is from the time of Nevuah. Wait a minute. It's a Magen Avraham. The Chazanish, Tyre, Chazanish knew the Magen Avraham. The assumption is the Chazanish knew the Magen Avraham. The assumption is the Chazanish knew of the fast day of Chaf Sivan. The first day of Chag Sivan, you should know, was observed by hundreds of thousands of Jews until the Shoah in Eastern Europe. They fasted for Chmelnytsky. Chmelnytsky, I don't even want to say the word, the name, before the war, aroused the same level of disgust and derision as Hitler Yimach Shemo. You don't just say Hitler, you say Hitler Yimach Shemo. You can vomit when you say it's disgusting. To say the word is just, it hurts you. That's what Chmelnytsky was. And they fasted. Frank Rabbi Spitz, what are you talking about? What about the 17th century? Ergo, therefore, can't be. Can't be that the Chazon Ish said that. Of course he knew about the Magen Avraham. Neged Adin, Neged Aminav, Neged Tzechel HaYashar, rip it out of the book. Doesn't belong there. No problem. It's not a precedent. Now go ahead. And now we have to establish something to commemorate what happened during the Holocaust. I read this article by Rabbi Spitz. I was very intrigued, very taken by it. There's a whole history, and I now have maybe 14 examples, where this one said about that one that it's a forgery. And it's fascinating. It's a fascinating study. My research has determined for me that in the vast majority of cases, it says more about the accuser than the accused. It tells me that the accuser, that he couldn't be soivel what the other person wrote. He couldn't just machavek and say sagornished. So you say, can't be that he wrote it. So I was very much intrigued to see if this charge falls into that category or not, and I began to do research. And I began to do research on the Chazon Ish's attitude to the Shoah. Now, recently, in the last 2 years, 3 years, there is a 1,000-page biography of the Chazon Ish by a very formidable professor in Israel called Binyamin Brown, by the name of Binyamin Brown. It's just jaw-dropping, unbelievable. When I first looked into this, there was a 3-volume biography of the Chazon Ish, we're now on page 5, entitled Pe'er Hador. Pe'er Hador, volume 1, was published, you see at the bottom, in 1966. Volume 2 was published in 1969. Volume 3 is published in 1970. I come across the street to the Gottesman Library, and I take out 3 volumes of Pe'er Hador. And I start to look, and I end up in the 3rd volume, because we don't get to the Shoah chronologically in the biography of the Chazon Ish till volume 3. And sure enough, there's a whole section on the Chazon Ish and the Shoah. And sure enough, next page, page 6, sure enough, the Chazon Ish himself was asked this very question. The Chazon Ish was asked this question, and the Chazon Ish responded to this question. So it can't be. Never wrote it. Fangsach nishtans. Can I get a mug in Avram? What are you talking about? He was asked that question. We have evidence. And we have evidence of his response. Let's take a look and examine what happened. Page 6. Baham Tiko, top right of page 6. This is from volume 3. Pe'er Hador, page Kuf Chav Dalet, Kuf Chav He. Baham Tiko Sotziachim Rabbi Binyamin Bendelson Mikvar Ata. Kayom Gaon of Bezdin Komamios. Komamios Arayom Azeh 2019 is known in Israel because it's one of the few kibbutzim or yeshuvim under the auspices of Poale Agudas Yisrael that observe Shemitah 100% betachlis. And they don't, there's no compromising in Shemitah, Heter Mechira, nothing. They mamish observe Shemitah. And every Shemitah, you'll look for it next time Shemitah comes around, there's going to be a lot of discussion about this particular yeshuv or kibbutz called Komemios, and to try to help them and support them during this time. Today, the son of Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn is the Rav in this town. Then Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn was then in Kfar Atta, and then later became the Gaon of Bezdin and Komemios, Biyom Yudalet Shvat, Shnas Tovshin Vav. Yudalat Shvat Shnas Tavshin Vav is at the end of 1945, beginning of 1946. So Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn has a conversation with the Chazon Ish, L'raglei nisyonoteha shel harabanut harashut l'eretz Yisrael, la'asot ma'aseh v'likvoa tainis tzibur l'doros k'zecher l'shoah. So the issue, the tainis tzibur l'doros, was raised already earlier, the end of 1945, beginning of 1946, in Tavshin Vav. The chief rabbin had already floated the notion. The chief rabbin then was Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi. Rav Ben Zion Meir Chai Uziel was the Sephardi chief rabbi. And they felt that Epis Muzmin Tan, we have to do something. Maybe we should establish a Tainus Lidar. So they established or float this idea. And Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn goes to the Chazon Ish and said, what do you think? What do you think about this idea? And we have the exact date. Yud Dalet Shvat Tavshin Vav. Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn, Bahamtiko Sotziach, he had a conversation, L'raglei, based on or in the wake of the attempt by the chief rabbi of Israel to establish a fast day for generations. Amar HaChazon Ish, said the Chazon Ish to Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn. What happened during the Shoah is totally, totally unnatural. Yesh b'nei Adam, there are people, asher lefi, quote, havanatam, based on their understanding, tzarech lahaskin tainus l'doros. There are such people. Azoya vegemacht, the chief rabbinate of Israel, there are some people who, lefi havon nosom, they think that we should establish a fast day. Rak ha-nevi'im mesugalim ayu l'kvo atzomot. Eino b'kocheinu lahaskin takonis. Only the nevi'im could do this. Ma she'yesh bi'odeinu, in the Lashon of the letter, mizman, right, you remember the Lashon? She'hoisa adayin nevu'ah. Only nevi'im can establish fast days. Sho'alish si'cho frekt Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn. Ma tam tikein hataz, tzom chof b'sivon. The Ragle Xeros Tachvitat, Shebivadai Lohigiu, Lememade, Atzaros Biomenu. Tayre Chazanish, wait a minute. What are you telling me that only Nevi'im? What about Chav Sivan Tachvitat? He asked from the Taz, I showed you the Magen Avraham. The very issue that Rabbi Spitz raises to therefore reject the legitimacy and the veracity of this letter. Namely, how could you say this neged adin, neged asechel ayosha, neged amina, because after all, what happened? Well, what do you do with Chav Sivan? Mamishi was asked that question. And he answered, Heshivo achazonish, Reishis, ein zeh kosov mefurish betaz. It's not a beferish betaz. Look at the note here. Look at the footnote 198. Vosot achazonish gemeint. What did he mean when he said it's not in the Taz? Perish ko hakosuv b'sefer Taz al shulchan aruch zui alocha psukah l'doros. If it's in the Taz, then we're locked in. If it's in the Halakha Taz's commentary on the shulchan aruch that this is something that we need to do, then we have to do it. Then you're right. Avo masha osa Taz biyomov. I know the Taz established it, but maybe he only established it for his time. And it didn't make its way into the iconic work of the Taz. It's not in the Taz. It's not in the Taz. The Turei Zahav. Who is the Taz? I always tell my Talmidim and Talmidot, his mother didn't call him, Nu Tazale, Tazale, Kimahe Tazale. Do me a favor, take out the garbage. Did you wash behind your ears last night when you took a bath? Tazala. What was his name? His name was Rav David Alevi. He also lived in the 17th century. He was a contemporary of the Magen Avraham. Rav David Alevi wrote a sefer, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch called the Taz. It's not in the Taz. If it is in the Taz that we should do it, then we're locked in, but it's not. He did it for his own time, didn't make its way into the Taz. Shainis, so therefore, it's not a precedent. So he knew about the fast of Tachvata. He knew about it. But he felt that it wasn't germane to the issue that he was addressing. Sheinis einanu b'madreigoso shel hataz. Mahalt nishtafaza madreig. See, that I understand. It's not an issue of nevuah, it's an issue of godless. Previous generation, Gedolius, Ataz can do something. But you and I, we're not holding on a level of Ataz or a Magen Avraham. Halo Hadoros, now he says something that I don't understand. Halo Hadoros Sheyavo Acharenu Yehiyu Tovim Yosem Yidor Shalonu. Ech Biyecholtenu Lekvoa Takonos Lamana. Later generations are going to be greater than us. Later generations are going to be greater than us. What right do we have to establish something for them? So I just want to say and mention and leave that I don't understand this particular argument at all, because adarabba, we have a notion in our tradition called Niskatnu Hadoros. Dr. Lamb, Zolga Zunzai, and Dr. Norman Lamb published a book entitled Toro Mada. He has a whole section. He calls it the degeneration of the generations. We believe in the degeneration of the Niskatno Adars. The further away we are from Sinai and from Kabbalah Satara, the weaker we are. That's what he means by Enonu b'madregoso shel ataz. So I don't know what he means, that the later generations are going to be greater than us. I don't know what that means. But meanwhile, it's not in Beferish in the Taz, and since it's not Beferish in the Taz, so therefore I'm not bound by it. And first of all, that's the first answer. And the second answer is we're not holding on to Taz's Madre. So therefore it's clear that the Chazon Ish wrote this letter. That manifestly, absolutely clear that it's not a forgery. And the upset of Rabbi Spitz is very well taken. I understand it. He can't believe that nothing was done by 1981. Nothing had been done of significance for him. The Yom HaShoah that was established by the Knesset in 1961 is irrelevant to him. He wants something in the observant community, and nothing was being done, and he was very upset about it. And I understand that, and I appreciate that. But the argument of Ektzemachen, the letter of the Chazon Ish, is a forgery, clearly has no basis whatsoever. I want to make two final points. The first of the two final points is, it is in the Taz. It is in the Taz. Next page, I found it in the Taz. Mamish in the Taz. Taz says on page 7, in Hilchas Tainis, so there's a fascinating discussion here in the Mechaber. Shulchan Aruch wants to know as follows. So we understand very well that on Monday and Thursday there's a Kriyas HaTorah for Shachris. On Monday and Thursday there's a Kriyas HaTorah for Shachris. So the question is, what happens if a fast day falls on a Monday or a Thursday? What happens if a established fast day, even a one-off fast day, falls on a Monday and Thursday? And in particular, what happens, as inevitably happens, Bahab. Bahab is on a Monday and a Thursday. What's Bahab? So I don't know how many of you in your shuls and in your communities follow Bahab. Bays, hey, bays. Monday, Thursday, Monday. After Pesach and after Sukkot, there are three fast days. Like beginning like within a few days after the end of the Yom Tiv, there's a minig. Bahab, you fast Monday, Thursday, Monday, because shtika lahaylalis, you got a little bit too excited about Simchas Yom Tiv, and maybe you did something you shouldn't have done. So there's a fast day, Bahab. Guess what? Bahab falls on, oh my God, I can't believe it, Monday and Thursday and Monday. Question, what do I do with the Kriyas HaTorah? What's the Kriyas HaTorah for a Tainis? Kriyas HaTorah for a Tainis is Vayachal. So Bahab is a Tainis, I should learn Vayachal. But wait a minute, but it's Parshas, whatever the Parsha is. Which takes priority? Does the Parshas HaShavua take priority on Bahab? Or does Vayachal take priority on Bahab? So the psak of the Ramah is that we say Vayachal. We say Vayachal, and we do not read the Parshas HaShavua. Zokt the Taz, top left, page 7. Venir Ali, it's about 8 lines from the top. The line beginning, Mikoach Vayachal. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the top. Venerally, Tahatainis Shegozru, Manhige Shalosha Aratzot, Bitsiruv Gaonim, Lehisanos Bechol Chof Sivan, Mishum Roa Hagezeros, Ba'avonoseno Harabim. What happens if Chof Sivan falls on a Monday or a Thursday? So with regard to the fast, that was established, and he gives it a lot of credibility. It was established by the Manhigei Shalosh Aratzot, more commonly known as the Arba Aratzot, the Council of the Four Lands, Bitziruv Gaonim. We're talking about Gaonim. Gaonim established a fast day, Chav Sivan. Why? Mishum Roa HaGezeros. Which Gezeros? Now we know. Tach V'tat, 1648-1649. So what do we do if it falls on a Monday or a Thursday? Yesh likros vayachal afilu kishachal biyom beiz ohei shetainis ze hu kavua afilu biyoser mi beiz vehei da'achara Pesach v'sukkis. It's even more authoritative than Bahab. Bahab knocks off the Parshas HaShavua. Kal v'chaymer Chav Sivan knocks off the Parshas HaShavua. Wow, Chav Sivan. It's a chashiv etaynis. Who said this? The Taz. What did the Chazanish answer, Rabbi Mendelssohn? Reishis ein ze kosov mufurish betaz. What's the pshat, footnote? If it's in the Taz, so we have to follow it. It's not in the Taz, I don't have to worry about it. Wait a minute. Zotman Shulding. Here it is. You don't have to trust me. I brought you the Taz. So I have been distraught by this discovery of mine. Chazon Ish. I don't know how to describe to you the greatness of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was the greatest of the great. So what are you going to say? The Chazon Ish forgot the Taz. I don't know. I can't say. I'm not prepared to be makabel that the Chazon Ish forgot the Taz. Peret says he knew the Taz. So if he knew the Taz, what's going on? So the way I want to learn Pshat, and I'm going to leave you with this Tzorachian, is that Taz does not say explicitly that this needs to be done for future generations. The Taz says that with regard to the fast day, that was established by the Gedolim and the Ga'inim and the Vad, the Shalosh HaRotzos, if it falls on a Monday and a Thursday, so we should lay Vayichal, because it's more Chashiv than Bahab. But he does not say explicitly that this must be adopted by all future generations. That's the only way I can understand how this Taz is not a stira to what the Chazon Ish says, that it's not in the Taz. I want to conclude. Rabbi Liebtag is here. We welcome you, and we're honored that you are joining us today. It's a very, very big special kavod for the Kranzler family and for Yeshiva University. Thank you. Last page. I want to conclude with a asterisk in the Sri De Eish in Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg's Shaila Sutshuvos. So what do we have till now? We have till now, I think, a very interesting analysis. So the Chazon Ish writes a letter in the late 40s. No sitting shiva and no fast day. Why no fast day? What kind of chutzpah is it if you'd even have Laharher kozos, to have a havamina that you should even do something like this. Masha yesh biyodenu mizman shoyis adayin nevuah. Frek Rabbi Spitz, what are you talking about? We do have things even after nevuah was concluded, namely 17th century. So obviously the Chazon Ish couldn't have written it. So I discover, with one visit to the library, that the Chazon Ish also knew about this. And he was, in fact, engaged in a conversation about this. And in fact, he responded to it. What are the answers that he gave to Rabbi Binyamin Mendelssohn on that fateful day at the end of 45, beginning of 46? Number one, it's not beferish in the Taz. Number two, we're not as great as the Taz. And 2b, later generations are going to be greater than we are. So 2b, bechlal fashtayach nisht, because we operate the opposite. 2A, I understand very well, because we're not on the Madrega of the Taz. One is it's not in the Taz, but it is in the Taz. I showed you it's in the Taz. Daf and Mechalek Zayin, because I'm not prepared to say that the Chazon Ish forgot the Taz. He was the greatest of the great. I would forget the Taz. Most people would never even probably heard of the Taz to begin with, this Taz. The Chazon Ish, I don't know. Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, we have no hasaga of the godless of these Gedolei Yisrael. Mamish no hasaga. So I'm assuming he knew the Taz. So I try to give you a for emfer. But I want to conclude and I want to come back to Dr. David Kranzler, Zichrono Livrach. There is a tshuva in the Chelik Beis of the Sri Deyesh, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg went through the Second World War. He was the head of the Hildesheimer Rabbinical Seminary. He had a very difficult time during the war. He ended up in Switzerland. He died in the middle 60s in Montreux in Switzerland. And he wrote, Shalos Teshuvah Sri De'esh means that was left from the fire. Left from the fire. The esh here is the Shoah. Chelik Beis Simon Lamed, somebody asked him a question. Rav Borer Av Bezdin Galingin. And the question is, are you allowed to have a massage on Shabbos? That's the question. Am I mechalel Shabbos if I have a massage? I go in, I lie down, mishmir tzachayis, and somebody comes and mishmir tzacharayin inter, and I have a massage on Shabbos. Is that called okay? On Shabbos, not talking about pasnisht, pasyo, pasnisht. Is it mutter to get a massage on Shabbos? And he has a whole tshuva here. It's not my interest. If you're interested in having a massage on Shabbos, you'll read the tshuva, you'll ask your rabbi, you're good to go. You notice after the salutation, the Harav Hagon Moreno Harav Mem Borer Harav Bezen Galingin, there's a little asterisk. I want to read the asterisk. The bottom of the page, under the line. Rabbi Weinberg takes this opportunity to tell us a little bit about who this Rabbi Borer was. And when I first came across this, there was a time when I worked through the tshuvas of the Sri Deyesh, and I came across this little footnote here. I was totally taken by it. HaShoel, I want to tell you a little bit who this Rabbi Borer was. Nothing to do with the issue about, massage on Shabbos, nishka massage. HaShoel haya talmid vatik shel beit midrash l'rabbanim. He was a very formidable Talmud of the Hildesheimer Rabbinical Seminary. Miyasado shel moron hagon atzadik marina of Rabbi Yehuda Hildesheimer, which I, Rabbi Weinberg, headed. He was killed during the Shoah. Listen to this. Hu haya tzadik tamim. Tzadik tamim. The Sri Deyesh, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, is made about this Jew that he was a tzadik tamim. Isaac b'torah yomim v'layla. V'noe b'kedusho b'tahara b'chol havayot chayav. In his entire lifestyle, he lived a life of sanctity and purity. This is unbelievable. V'af shehaya b'af sheiruto lahatzil et atzmo. Kodem perotz ha-milchama. K'derech sha'asu sha'ara b'nei Germania. He had a chance to leave. Other rabbis in Germany left before the Shoah. They saw what was coming. They're out of here. He could have left. He did not leave. Lo ratza la'azov et kihilato levada b'sha'at tzara u'mitzuka. He didn't want to leave his community at a moment of tremendous pressure and tremendous pain and tremendous suffering. He didn't want to abandon his community. He stayed, and he was killed. V'ra'ui likvoa lidorot, and it's important for us to establish for generations. Ki bein rabbanei Germania, among the rabbis of Germany, nimtzu anoshim tzadikim chsidim u'kadoshim. Asher b'minidot acherot, had they been living in other countries, had they been living in Poland, had they been living in Hungary, hayu rivavot anashim ratzim achareihem, lehanot biziv toratam v'yiratam, they'd have hundreds of thousands of chassidim who would run after them to get hanah from their Torah if they lived in a different country. Et haskalatam ha'akadimait shekiblu b'michlalot Germania, their academic secular degrees that they received in German universities, horidu lemadrega shel rakachot v'tabachot mamish. There's a famous letter of the Rambam to Rabbi Yonasan HaKayim in Lil Nil, when he tries to describe what role does general culture have in the worldview of the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Vashteitzach Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And secular studies, not secular, but non-Torah-specific studies, philosophy, v'chulu, are rakachos v'tabachos. It's like the cooks and the perfumers. It's like abissal azal tzarein gevorfen. It like makes it a little bit more tasty. It's not the ikker, but it's important because it enhances one's understanding of Torah. That's what these rabbis who went to university in Germany, for them, their secular credentials were rakachos v'tabachos. Lo yuman ki yusupar, you would never believe it. Et ha-Torahim ha-akademayim histiru me'en kol. They never walked around, I am a rabbiner doctor. They weren't rabbiner doctor, they were Moichel the doctor. They hid that part. V'lo ishtam shubahem, when did they pull the doctor out of their drawer? Ela b'maga'amim ha-shiltonot. When they went to the local mayor and the local governor, then, hey, I can talk to you. I went to university. I have a doctorate. That's when they pulled out the doctor. And when they fought against reform, I also lived in the real world. I'm also acculturated. That's when they pulled out the doctor. The only thing that can comfort us is the hope, the thought, ki yinkom Hashem et nikmat dam avadav hashafuch, that God should take revenge and God should avenge their blood. L'da'ati ra'ui l'kvoa yom evel v'zichron miyuchad l'zecher rabbanei u'kedoshei Yisrael sh'nehergu v'shenitbechu v'shenisrafu al kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg states explicitly that I believe, he says, that it is appropriate, likboa, notice the Lashon very carefully, yom, what's the next word? Yom, evel v'zichron, a day of remembering, of memory. What does it not say? A tainus. He's not addressing a tainus. We should have a day of memory. Chazon Ish also did not address tainus. But the Chazon Ish is used in the Haredi community opposed to Yom HaShoah. There's an opposition to Yom HaShoah, not only in the Haredi community. Rabbi Joseph P. Soloveitchik quoted from his uncle, the Brisker Rav, was absolutely opposed to a separate day of Yom HaShoah. Tisha B'Av is a day when we should commemorate it. The Haredi community used the letter of the Chazon Ish, not just against the Tainis, but against the Yom Evel V'Zichron Meyucha, which the Chazon Ish L'maise did not address. But here, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg says, Roy L'Kvoa Yom Evel V'Zichron, we should remember them. And this, among many other things, was the exceptional contribution of the individual in whose memory we gather this morning. Dr. David Kranzler devoted his life to establish a zichron, ve'evel, miyuchad, l'kadoshei Yisrael, shenergu, v'shenitbechu, v'shenisrafu, al kiddush Hashem. He had an enormous impact, of course, on his family, his wife and his children, ve'einikloch, his neighbors, his friends, all who knew him. But he also left a lasting legacy for all of us to benefit from. To place the Shoah front and center in our collective Jewish historical consciousness. We remember him today, Harav Yecheskel David ben Rabbi Yerachmiel, Zichrono Levracha, Tehei Nishmaso Tzurah B'Tzurah Achai.